Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. The State Mining and Energy Commission is now holding public hearings across the state about proposed regulations for fracking for natural gas, a controversial practice fast-tracked by the General Assembly. Opponents of fracking have dominated the hearings with their concerns about the safety of drinking water and the damage fracking can do to local communities. Joining us now to talk about it is Hope Taylor with Clean Water North Carolina. Hope, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
I'm happy to be here.
You have attended the public hearings the Mining and Energy Commission is holding, and I want to ask you about some specific both comments and concerns, but overall, as you reflect on the three hearings, what's your impression of what folks are saying?
The level of detail and knowledge about the draft rule for the Mining and Energy Commission is pretty impressive. It varies somewhat from hearing to hearing, but people are making comments on specific rules of concern, and I would say ones related to chemical disclosure and water and bonding and setbacks have been among the most prominent comments, and people have gone into considerable detail about what's wrong with the draft rules as they stand.
You mentioned that you've been impressed. I wondered, overall, is there a... There appears to be a legitimate skepticism about the way this whole process has been handled as well.
I actually think there's pretty good grounds for that. As someone who, even before the oil and gas study was completed in 2012, was involved in the Stronger, which is a regulatory review process involving DNR to look at what's needed in our rules of the over 70 recommendations that the Stronger process made, and that's a combination of other state regulators and environmental groups, and some oil and gas companies participate in that too. So it was a very large number of recommendations that were made. Not all of those were implemented in the study and the subsequent Bill 820 that was passed, Senate Bill 820 that was passed in 2012. And then I was asked to serve on the DNR stakeholder panel, and many of the recommendations that were made by the stakeholders, which did include industry as well as a number of agencies and local officials and just two environmental groups, were very close to consensus, if not consensus recommendations. And many of the strongest protective provisions were stripped out by DNR even before the Mining and Energy Commission was given them to consider. That became obvious pretty early on in considering the chemical disclosure rules, when the recommendation of the stakeholder group was for at least a 1,000-foot setback from occupied buildings. DNR passed that along as a 500-foot setback. So the Mining and Energy Commission started with information that did not really represent the stakeholder discussions in some cases. And then we've seen the Mining and Energy Commission use repeatedly considerations of the cost for industry as a means to further weaken those recommendations. So there's definitely reason for distrust, and then there are some particular commission members that have sort of gone further to earn the public's distrust, really trivializing the public's input and the potential for changing the rules.
Didn't the General Assembly say last year that they wouldn't allow permits to be issued or start this process until the final rules were adopted, and then change their mind this past summer?
Actually, it was originally in 2012 under Senate Bill 820. The commitment was made to have final legislative consideration of the rules before permitting would be allowed. There was an attempt with the Rush to Frack Bill, Senate Bill 76, in last year, in 2013, to go ahead and lift the moratorium. But in fact, the provision that ended up in Senate Bill 76 even strengthened the commitment that the legislature would, in fact, review the rules after they were completed before implementing any permits. So, yes, the broken promise was after a very strong promise to the public that the legislature would have a final say on those rules. My own guess is that the legislature realized that the momentum against fracking was growing in North Carolina, and I think they were concerned that there would be enough pressure that it would be difficult for legislators to vote to go ahead with permitting next year, and that they'd better go ahead and get that done this year.
You mentioned disclosure and the setback requirements as two concerns. Were there other common themes that ran through these hearings?
Yes, I would say things related to water, both setbacks to water, water use, and treatment and handling of wastewater, potential for contamination, prohibition of any discharges to surface water. That, I would say, was a very strong theme that sort of wound its way through several specific rules, draft rules that were being commented on. Folks are very concerned about the potential health impacts and loss of their water supplies. There were some comments related to the lack of any air quality rules, and I think the public is becoming increasingly aware of the fact that some of the worst health impacts, neurological problems, respiratory problems, even blackouts and really chronic problems that have resulted from toxic air emissions, that those may be even more severe than the water quality problems. And as a result, with the increasing attention to public health, I think that there's going to be an even bigger push for requirement for air quality rules, which the Mining and Energy Commission has completely sidestepped. Although there is a recent petition from Blue Ridge Environmental Defense League to implement air quality rules for fracking. And so we are encouraging people to make comments calling for those rules as well.
You mentioned the wastewater at one point. I've always been amazed at the confusion about that. For folks who haven't been following it as closely, and maybe even as they should have, what's going to happen to all this wastewater?
That's actually one of the biggest sort of hand-waving issues that is pending with the rules. What we did get last year in Senate Bill 76 is a confirmation that, and again this year with 786, that discharge to groundwater, to subsurface, is going to be prohibited as a way to deal with groundwater in North Carolina. Now, it does not rule out shipping that flowback water and produced water to other states for disposal. And in fact, that's how close to 90% of the wastewater from fracking operations is being handled. And of course, there's been growing awareness that that's causing significant clusters of earthquakes in a number of places where there's a lot of wastewater discharge. Discharging it to surface water, even with some treatment, is almost certainly unrealistic. There really isn't a good treatment regime for taking out the huge range of contaminants that would result both from the chemicals that are originally injected as well as the natural contaminants, including heavy metals, radiation, and volatile organic compounds that would come back up from the shale. And the flowback, the ponds for holding the waste, which is what they're talking about now as a temporary solution, there's a tremendous amount of pushback in the hearings from that because those have air emissions as well as the potential for surface and groundwater leaks. There's no good solution.
There's one more hearing coming up September 12th. Written comments are accepted through the end of the month. What ideally would you like to see happen? I mean, what's the best case scenario as a result of these public hearings?
We do think that a couple of the hearing officers are pretty sincere about wanting to get detailed feedback and being able to improve the rules. So we are encouraging folks to give detailed comments on the rules. Not that we have in any way given up on preventing fracking in North Carolina, but seeing this as part of an overall approach, the stronger you make the rules, the harder industry is going to have to think before it decides whether to come to North Carolina. So we are hoping that the hearings become an opportunity to further broaden the already majority concerns, is what the polls show, about fracking, and further educate the public, as well as to get improvements in rules, which undoubtedly will still fall short of the commitment that the Mining and Energy Commission made of having the strongest rules in the nation, but there's a lot of room for improvement. We definitely want to improve the rules as a stopgap as we work to try and return to the times, the conditions in which we had groundwater protections that prohibited fracking altogether.
Well, Hope, thank you for what you and your organization are doing, and we really appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.